Hello and welcome to Blickwechsel, the VIDC podcast for a different view of the world. My name is Sibylle Schraubinger. I am the Executive Director of the Vienna Institute for International Dialogue and Cooperation, VIDC. Once a month, this podcast is about an internationally relevant topic. Today, we talk about tax justice. Taxes are essential for states to generate revenue, finance, expenditures, and redistribute wealth within and between states. Taxes are probably one of the most important means of creating more justice in a society. But the national and international tax systems all over the world are full of loopholes and intransparency, and they often support the rich. States, companies, individuals. At least that's the view of Tax Justice Europe network, and two active members of this network are my guests today. Tove Reiding is the policy and advocacy manager for tax justice at the European Network on Debt and Development, Eurodebt, a network of 60 non-governmental organizations working on development finance issues. She leads Eurotax Justice Team and represents Tax Justice Europe in the Coordinating Committee of the Global Alliance for Tax Justice. A warm welcome to Blickwechsel, Tove.
Thank you so much.
My second guest is Martina Neuwirth, and Martina works at the VIDC on international economic and finance issues since 2011. From the very beginning, she focused on tax and development, which means tax systems and tax policies in countries of the Global South. She represents the VIDC in Tax Justice Europe and was member of the coordination committees of the Global Alliance for Tax Justice and helped to build up this global network of tax justice movements. Welcome, Martina.
Thank you so much for inviting me too.
Martina, at the very beginning, could you briefly explain what Tax Justice Europe actually is? When was it founded and why was it founded?
That's a good question. So it was founded exactly 10 years ago in 2014, and it was meant to be a regional hub and a member of the Global Alliance for Tax Justice. You already mentioned that. And the Global Alliance for Tax Justice is a hub and an alliance of continental platforms in all over the world, in Africa, Asia, Latin America, North America, and also in Europe. And the Global Alliance was founded, I think, in 2013 or 2014 also. I mean, Tove and me were, so to say, the founding members. So we got to know the humpy-bumpy start of the global network because it's always very difficult to set up such a global alliance. And then afterwards, the European network, Tax Justice Europe, was founded. And it was supposed to be a platform of national justice networks on the one hand, because there were already tax justice networks in countries like Germany. But it was also meant to be a platform for individual organizations working on tax, very big organizations like Oxfam, but also smaller organizations like the VIDC. And I think the reason why it was founded was because to work on tax, it was an issue that spread around the world, and more organizations were aware that working on tax is so important, as you mentioned, because it's a good mean for redistribution, for getting development finance. So also a lot of development organizations like the VIDC and also Oxfam were interested in tax. And then it became obvious that we need a platform to cooperate, to share experiences, to share knowledge. And that was the reason, basically.
And Tove, to meet your own transparency requirements, how is the network financed? How many and which organizations are part of the network?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. We have now over 70 members in Tax Justice Europe. And how is it financed? Well, the straight answer to that is that it's not. When we founded it, we decided to keep things as simple as possible. And one of the things we decided was that there's not going to be a membership fee for organizations that want to join Tax Justice Europe, because we really wanted to make sure that everyone who had the same objectives as the Global Alliance and Tax Justice Europe, everyone should be able to join, whether they are rich or poor organizations. It was very important to be inclusive. And then that brought us to the situation. We've tried sometimes to consider whether we can raise funds collectively, but the key way that the network works is that the members pay for their own participation and the decisions are implemented collectively. And in addition to that, my organization, Eurodat, then also volunteered to coordinate the work of Tax Justice Europe. But that's because Eurodat is also a network, and a lot of the organizations that are in Tax Justice Europe are also members of Eurodat. So we decided we'll just merge the coordination and do everything through Tax Justice Europe. So despite the fact that the organization doesn't have a budget and doesn't have a separate secretariat or income source, it's actually a really active and dynamic network. And that's because the members are really committed.
Mm-hmm. So maybe to come to the point and the tax justice per se, unfortunately, whether something is fair or not is seen very differently between people and states and enterprises, for example. Could you explain what you mean when you are talking about tax justice?
Yes, that really goes to the point. It is up to each of us to consider what do we think is fair. And also over time, the perception of what is fair and unfair can also change as we learn new things. But the first point on tax justice is to make sure that we have a democratic process. The tax rules have impacts on all of us. We are all taxpayers, but we also all depend on public services. And if the tax system fails, that also means there's not enough funding for schools and hospitals and so forth. And when we look at tax justice, it's important to recognize that it's an extremely international issue. The national tax systems are deeply impacted by the international structures. If we take the example of tax havens, when there is a tax haven, then actually it can undermine the tax systems of countries all around the world, because big multinational corporations or wealthy individuals can hide their money in the tax haven and not pay tax. So that's where the problem comes, is that the international rules that regulate things like tax havens and how people can hide their money, that's actually an issue that has impacts on people all over the world. And that's one of the key issues we've taken on, is to make sure that when the global rules on tax are being set, it's important that we have an inclusive and transparent and democratic process. And one of the things we had to fight a lot for is also to make sure that all countries can participate on an equal footing. Because if you have a country that has no influence on the global tax rules, it also means that all the citizens of that country lose influence. So that's really been a key battle for the movement, is to make sure that everything is more democratic and transparent. And of course, we've also identified some key issues that we think are deeply unfair, especially the fact that some of the wealthiest people and corporations of the world are sometimes paying very little, if any, tax. So that's a very obvious example of injustice that we've also taken up together.
Martina, what does the tax system in Austria or also in the European Union have to do with tax justice in the global South?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, coming back to your last question, I also think that tax justice can be meant on the national but also the international level. So tax system in Austria can be fair, which I don't think, but a national tax system can be fair, but on the international level, it can be very unfair. And we talk about so-called spillover effects a national tax system, as the Austrian tax system, can have. And Austria in the past, and I would say when we started Tax Justice Europe 10 years ago, Austria was still considered to be a tax haven by some countries. It also was once at the gray list, or different gray lists at the international level, because of its very strict banking secrecy. So even tax administrations or courts from other countries were not able to get any information about bank data, about tax-related information. So that has changed because of international pressure, also from civil society, I would say. So we still have a banking secrecy, but it has weakened a lot. So this is one aspect of how the Austrian system had and still has, to a lesser extent, an impact on the tax revenue capacities of other countries, I would say. And the second one is the so-called double tax treaties. The double tax treaties are very important when it comes to international tax relations. That means that this is a bilateral tax between Austria and another country. And in that a treaty, countries agree which country can tax what when it comes to cross-border transactions. So every transaction that goes over the border of Austria or over the border of the treaty partner has to be taxed in one way or the other. And then in that treaty, you commit to tax or let the other country tax. But the bad thing about those treaties is that most of those treaties, also the Austrian treaties, go along the lines of the so-called OECD Model Tax Treaty. This is an international treaty that is the basis of every negotiation that Austria has with another country. And we see, because the OECD is a rich countries club, that those treaties are really in favor of rich countries, which means basically those countries where there are powerful multinationals, where there are headquarters of multinationals. So if Austria has a tax treaty with a very poor country or a less developed country than Austria is, then there's always an imbalance. And as far as we can see, there is no impact assessment whatsoever on this so-called spillover effects that these double tax treaties that Austria has signed with other countries have. So this is something that we push for years to have those impact assessments. It was also debated in Austrian parliament, but we still have to fight for that. So there are definitely effects that the Austrian tax system has on other countries.
Mm. So the network have been working on more than 10 years now for tax justice or on tax justice. So what has been achieved? Do you see any progress?
I see a lot of progress on many fronts. The first one is, indeed, I started working on tax a bit more than 10 years ago. And in the beginning, there were a lot of people that didn't understand what I was working on. And it was not such a big topic in the public debate. And then came one international tax scandal after the other. And now it's not only very easy to explain what I'm working on and why it's important. I just say it's my job to make big multinational corporations and wealthy people pay tax. And then people get it, but also people support it. It's a really good way to make new friends. The public support now is amazing. And that, of course, also translates into public pressure for change. Martina mentioned the banking secrecy. It's a huge problem if tax administrators can't identify when people from the country have put their money in bank accounts in other countries. And that's one area where there's been some progress. Now there's more exchange of information between countries so that the tax administrators can identify people who have hidden their money. But what we've seen on many issues is that this progress has more been the case for the richer countries, the OECD countries. They've seen a lot of progress, but the case is different for developing countries. They haven't seen the same progress. They still find it very hard to get information. So we've seen sort of an unbalanced progress, but that links to the second issue where we've had a lot of progress. When it comes to the global tax rules and the fact that they have problems that impact all countries, but they are particularly bad for developing countries. And here we've recently seen a big push by the African group of countries at the United Nations. They insisted that now there should be a global negotiation to have a UN convention, just like we have a UN convention on climate change. They've now started the negotiation on a UN Convention on International Tax Cooperation. So this is a breakthrough that we think is going to give us an opportunity to really fix some of the basic problems, but also get us a much more fair and transparent and democratic process around decision-making on international tax rules, and also get an outcome that is not only in the interest of the richest countries, but also takes into consideration the interest of the poorest countries. So on all these issues, it's been an amazing journey, and a lot has improved, but we also have a lot left to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think too. Yeah. I agree totally with Tove. When I started 10 years ago to work on tax, I think not even half a year later, everything exploded. It was like, boom, you know. So the issue was all over the place. International media took it up.
Why? What was the reason?
Because of all those data releases and data leaks. Mm-hmm. So now also journalists could really see where the money was going from multinationals and also rich people and also crooks. I mean, criminals. I mean, also money laundering and all that stuff can be hidden by the intransparent system that we had and partly still have, I would say. And then a lot moved. So I remember Austrian finance minister saying, no, the Austrian banking secrecy will be there forever because it's in our genes. And not even a year later, it was gone, you know. So it was really funny. I mean, there's always this perception that taxes are something that is very complicated, very dry, very boring. But it was so fun, I mean, working on that because it was so political and there was so much public debate. It was really great. But I also agree to Tove when she says we had a lot, or we have a lot of progress. But the thing that always makes me crazy is that you really have to look at all the details. There's so much nitty-gritty. You never can trust if somebody says, yes, we have become more transparent, because then you have to look really into the details. And that also requires from us, also from NGOs who are not tax advisors, to become, you know, to get knowledge. And this is also one thing, I think, why the Tax Justice Europe Network is so helpful, because we cannot do everything on our own in our, you know, we need a cooperation. So as I really think that things have changed, but there is still a lot of things to do. There are many loopholes. As Tove mentioned, the international tax system really is not in favor, especially of the poorest countries that need tax revenues most for poverty reduction and also to cover all the expenses that come with climate change effects, droughts, etc. So we really have, especially as a development institute like the VRDC, really have to be still more active so that also the poorest or the low-income countries can benefit from a good and fair international tax system. And I really think that the UN negotiations that have started now is really a chance that we can see a light at the end of the tunnel.
So what would be important next steps for you, for your work, for a network?
Well, the first thing is that we need to really participate in this UN negotiation. One of the things that's changed is that when we didn't have a UN process, all the decisions on international tax rules were taken at the OECD. And at the OECD, there's a lot of problems. As Martina says, it's basically called a rich countries club, but they invited developing countries to come and participate. And there was a lot of problems with that. But from our perspective, there was also the point that the negotiations were completely secret. The negotiating text was secret. We were not allowed to be in the room or even in the building. We were basically shut out. And in the UN process, we get to be in the room. We can make interventions in the negotiations. We can submit inputs to the process, and the negotiating text is public. And that actually means a lot more work. And it's great. We love that work. Finally, we're part of feeding into and proposing our solutions for the global tax system. It doesn't mean that we are the decision makers, but we get to submit our proposals straight to the governments that are negotiating, and we get to hold them to account for what they're saying. So it's very exciting work, but it's also a lot of work. And at the same time, as a European network, we also do a lot of work at the EU level, looking at the role of the EU. The EU is also an important actor in this. And also, I think, as is clear also from what Martina is saying, the work at the national level is absolutely crucial because everything is connected. If we don't have the pressure at the national level, we also can't get international progress. So we have a lot of very important work coming up to some extent as a result of the fact that we had such a breakthrough in the way that global tax rules are made.
That leads to my next question, because 2024 is a year of many elections around the world. Important for Europe, especially, are the elections of the European Parliament. And so which role does the European Union and its institutions have in providing tax justice within and outside the Union?
The EU has been working together on tax for many years now. And on the one hand, there is a very big work area on tax. But on the other hand, the EU has decided it can't make decisions on tax unless all countries agree. And this has caused somewhat of a difficult process. There's also the point that even today, there are some EU member states that we would still call tax havens, for example, Luxembourg and the Netherlands and Ireland. And within the European Union, it is a real problem that the Union has free movement of capital. Money can move freely across borders, but we haven't actually solved the tax haven problems inside the EU. So this has huge impacts on other EU member states, including Austria, for example. Money is simply being lost because we have tax havens among the EU member states. But it also has an impact globally. We also see developing countries losing money because of the rules that we have in some EU member states. So there's a big issue to solve there. And the European Parliament has played a key role in pushing for what we call harmful tax practices to be removed. So basically for EU countries to stop being tax havens. That problem is not solved, but it's a very important battle going forward. And at the same time, there's a new push to have the EU look at the issue of wealth taxes, taxing the richest people. So that's going to be a big discussion going forward. And lastly, the EU has played a key role on transparency as well. And there is a long-standing battle where we have asked for the public to be allowed to see how much tax multinational corporations are paying in each country where they operate and how much business activity they have. Because if you get those numbers, you can actually see whether there is a problem with tax havens. And we've had some progress. We have transparency around tax payments for banks now. But we have a long-standing battle to make sure that we get a high level of corporate transparency on the tax issue. And the European Parliament has in the past pushed for this. So as the new parliament comes to Brussels, this will be a key issue that we're going to keep pursuing.
So Martina, what could or should the European Union or Austria especially do for more tax justice, especially to support the countries of the Global South?
Well, as Tove said, support the UN process. Don't be in the way. Don't block everything. Because at the moment, we see that the EU and also some EU member states are still blockers to that. They want the international tax system to be negotiated at the OECD level, which, as Tove mentioned, especially the African countries, but also other developing countries don't want because of bad experiences in the past. So go with the flow, support the UN process, support, in the case of Austria, maybe also your partner countries. We have several partner countries of the Austrian Development Cooperation. Why not supporting them? For example, paying for their stay in New York for the poorest countries, even travel costs can be an issue. Strengthen their negotiating capacities, not maybe not directly, but by cooperation and supporting regional institutions like the African Tax Administration Forum, for example. So there are lots of things things that Austria can do at the EU level, at UN level, but also at the very national level in the form of more support via the Austrian Development Cooperation. So Austria has started to do that a couple of years ago, then ended it. So my big wish would also be that Austria starts to support core regions and core partner countries in that process and be a reliable partner. And in general, I would really love to see an international tax system that not only focuses on tax competition, but an international system that is really based on human rights, sustainable development, environmental protection, also gender equality.
Solidarity.
Yeah.
As far as I know, the European Union, the countries of the European Union, voted against this UN process. And so it will be a long process. And it's very difficult to come to solutions within the European Union. So do you really think it's possible on a United Nations level to come to a solution?
Yes. First of all, it's true that when there was the proposal to start negotiating a UN convention on tax, all the EU member states voted no. We had some other European countries like Norway and Iceland that abstained. They didn't vote, but the European Union as a bloc, they rejected the proposal. That was in November 2023, but we were very happy to see that it seems over Christmas and New Year, they had a change of heart in the EU. And when the negotiations actually started in February, the EU member states came to the table. At the moment, they don't have much of a joint EU position. And this is actually one of the things that we expected to see. Because if you look at the EU countries, the countries that are tax havens have very different interests from the high tax countries. And this is one thing that we're hoping to see. We're actually happy to see that the EU member states are starting to negotiate as individual countries. It's still good to keep the EU cooperation going, but it's also important that the countries that are currently losing out in the EU, and these are the high tax countries, the Scandinavian countries, Spain, Italy, but also a high tax country like Austria, is currently losing money because we have tax havens, including tax havens inside the EU. And those countries now have a chance to find allies in other regions. One of the dreams we have is that we will have an alliance of progressive countries. We call it the Race to the Top Alliance. Basically, that all the high-tax countries that are losing money, that they find each other in the negotiations. So you could have EU member states teaming up with countries in Africa and Latin America and Asia, and working together to try and get real solutions. And that would also mean that instead of sitting in a closed-door meeting in Brussels and discussing with the tax havens in the EU, and we have this rule that they can't decide anything unless they all agree, and that's been very difficult. And we think it can be a huge game changer that the countries that are losing out, they can now find each other, because at the global level, we have many, many more countries losing out than we have tax havens. So we do think that this can be an important change in the politics. And looking at processes like the climate negotiations, we can also see that once you have a transparent UN process where the public can see what's going on, we can hold our governments to account and we can pressure for progress, then we've seen that we can actually get countries to move. So that's the job we have now. It's very clear that if we as democratic citizens don't hold our governments to account, then this UN process is probably not going to deliver much. But now we have a chance to push for real change. And so far at the moment, the negotiations are looking really interesting. And we are seeing some of the EU countries are starting to talk to countries from other regions. So we hope we get this alliance of progressive countries.
So that sounds very hopeful. Perhaps one final question, because we are nearly at the end of our podcast. So what does each of you see as the most important step toward more tax justice? So what do you want to focus on, maybe aside the UN process? Just a short answer.
Well, at the Austrian level, I would still love to push decision makers and also a more general public to become more involved in this text justice process. So really come away from seeing taxes only as a burden, only as a means to fight against other countries, but have more cooperation at the European, but also at the international level. And within Austria, as coming from a development institution, I would really love to see the Austrian Development Corporation be more focused on domestic revenues and how to support partner countries. And that is something that I will fight for in the next years.
Thank you, Martina. And Tove?
Yeah, I can say what it is that we look at the end of the workday to see whether we're moving forward or backwards. We have many intersecting crises at the global level. We have a climate crisis. We have an inequality crisis. We still have large amounts of poverty, and we have a lot of children that still don't get proper schooling. We have problems in healthcare. We have all these interconnected development and environmental challenges. And at the end of the day, the tax system is a key tool to solve this. It's a way of getting resources to fight our collective problems, but it is also an extremely important tool to make sure that we don't have inequalities that go up, but instead go down. So we need to use the tax systems to mobilize the revenue for fighting climate change, for promoting development, but also to make sure that we reduce inequalities both within and between countries. And that also, like Martina said, it also links to the issues of human rights, making sure that people get their basic rights fulfilled, including having the public funding that makes sure that they can get healthcare and education. But it also relates to issues such as gender inequality, to make sure that we don't have tax systems that put women at a disadvantage. It's actually a problem that we have now. So at the end of the day, if you ask what it is we're fighting for, it's these basic fights for justice and social progress and environmental protection. That's what we ask ourselves at the end of the day. And as you can hear at the moment, we feel like we are moving in the right direction, but there's a lot of work ahead of us.
Great. Thanks a lot for this interesting and understandable insight or insights in quite a complicated topic. I'm sorry, Martina.
Yeah, but I know.
It's complicated.
No.
Thanks. Thank you very much, Tove and Martina.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
So this was Blickwechsel, the VIDC podcast on tax justice. To change financial systems is not an easy task, but if it succeeds, it has a big impact. And the more forces are combined in networks, the more likely positive changes are. Also, as VIDC, we will continue to work in the spirit. So in the meanwhile, all the best, and until the next Blickwechsel, the VIDC podcast for a different view on the world.